ESPN 1000 presents The Fantasy Football Show with Jeff Meller. Hard-hitting fantasy info to help you land that dub this weekend. Jeff Meller shares the latest news, injury updates, and tips to help you set your lineup. The Fantasy Football Show, presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey and brought to you in part by ETI School of Skilled Trades. Your football Sunday starts now with Jeff Meller on ESPN Chicago.
You're damn right it does. Happy Sunday. We are in the thick of it already. Week 3 of the NFL slate has already begun with the Thursday Jets victory in the books over the Patriots. Sort of a ho-hum game for fantasy purposes. Not a ton there, obviously. If you had Ramondre Stevenson, you're probably a little disappointed with that outcome. Garrett Wilson, your day was salvaged with a touchdown, although that was also somewhat disheartening. We've got Breece Hall getting his touchdown, but does he have a Braylon Allen problem? And then Aaron Rodgers looking feisty, but probably someone you still don't want to start in fantasy just yet if you can avoid it. I am Jeff Meller. Good morning to you every Sunday here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I get your Sunday started here locally, talking fantasy football at 312-332-3776. That's your pass to get on through. If you have a fantasy football question, hit me up and I will answer, do my best to answer it at least through the next hour of fantasy football talk. And then, of course, Bleck and Abdallah will get our Bears coverage started on the home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. They'll get the local pregame coverage underway at 8 o'clock. Our radio network coverage starts at 10 with Sylvie, Lance Briggs, Deion Miller. Of course, Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer will be on the call with Jason McKee on the sidelines of today's Bears-Colts game in Indianapolis. And then post-game coverage with Yurko and Peggy Kaczynski. And then I'll be back with the post-post-game coverage with Jason McKee and Pat the Designer. So that is your Sunday schedule right here on ESPN 1000. But as I said, we get things started right here with the Fantasy Football Show presented by the fine folks over at Tullamore Dew. Love the fine folks over at Tullamore Dew. Thank you to them, for as always, for sponsoring the Fantasy Football Show. All right, let's get after it with all the key injuries that you need to be aware of.
Play clock down to 6. Love gets the snap, fakes to Jones. Back to pass, looking, loads up. Deep down the middle, got a man, and it's caught for a touchdown. Jaden Reed running right down the middle, in between the hash marks, and Love threw a strike.
All right, so we had some hints that potentially on Friday, maybe Jordan Love would be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. And those hints and reports quickly subsided. The hopes were dashed. Jordan Love not going to be the starter today. We're going to get another dose of Malik Willis for the Packers. And obviously, this is good for the Packers' running attack, or at least, I guess, the propensity for them to run. Will they have as much success against the Titans as they did against the Colts last week? Well, that's yet to be determined, although probably highly unlikely. But you're going to start Josh Jacobs, I think, if you have him, and I think you still probably want to steer clear of most of those Packers pass catchers. Even though Malik Willis was somewhat productive, it came in very limited snaps. I believe it was 14 of 16. So not a whole lot you're going to be able to do with that for the most part with the receivers. So I'm steering clear of most Jaden Reed folks out there.
End zone, caught! Touchdown, Chargers! The captain, Keenan Allen, comes up huge on 3rd and 9.
Still awaiting the touchdown Bears call from Jeff Joniak on Keenan Allen. He's not going to get that today. He's already been ruled out, courtesy of the Bears injury report on Friday, dealing with that heel issue. And also, he's not going to be on the sidelines today due to a personal issue. But it's the heel that's going to keep him out. We'll obviously have more on the Bears passing game and what their plan will be throughout the day here on ESPN 1000. But Keenan Allen, no go. Get him out of your lineup if you were considering him. We're going to put him on the back burner at least for a little while, especially he's still viable in PPR formats, but non-PPR scoring, I'm going to want to see him play a game and look healthy before I actually advise folks to go ahead and use him.
Looks to his right.
Got it, got it. Michael Pittman, touchdown! Touchdown, Michael Pittman! Ball game! I-N-D-Y! Michael Pittman in the end zone.
All right, so Michael Pittman looks like he's going to be able to go, at least according to Adam Schefter late last night. He should be ready to go for the Colts, who will be playing the Bears today, again, at Lucas Oil Stadium. And it's getting to be a little bit problematic for Pittman owners because Anthony Richardson, even though he's got a whole lot of absolutely jaw-dropping skills at his disposal, his accuracy has left something to be desired, so it's hard to consistently count on Pittman to get you those targets that you're hoping for, at least those targets being on target. So Pittman will be available today, and in, you know, I can probably see a path to using him as your third wide receiver or flex, especially if you're three wide receiver plus a flex leagues. I can see that in PPR formats, but it hasn't been great from the outset. But Michael Pittman will be available for the Colts today. At least that's what it seems like. Always, I always throw out the caveat, though, too. Check the inactives, especially with those players who are labeled as questionable. But they want to always make sure that they're good to go in pregame warmups.
CJ with the toss to Mixon, running left, and he's in! Touchdown, Houston! Joe Mixon, 3-yard TD run.
All right, so this is a blessing in disguise. Joe Mixon did not travel with Houston today to take on the Minnesota Vikings, and I say it's a blessing in disguise because it would be an absolute headache. I know everybody would want to start Joe Mixon if he was active today for the Texans, but if you watched the Bears game last Sunday night, you saw him get rolled up in what looks like a high ankle sprain in all likelihood. You saw him go back out there in the game and give it a go. He was very ineffective, and they immediately shut him down. And Damien Pierce is also out, which means that Cam Akers steps in as the lead back, and in deeper leagues, potentially the running back that you're going to want to use. And against the Vikings, it's a decent matchup against the run. But I would think that C.J. Stroud, they will lean heavily on his arm, and we've been through the Cam Akers experience in fantasy for years now. Just when you think you can actually rely on Cam Akers, that's when he steps up and bites you and generally fumbles his roll away. But again, if you're in a deeper format or you're looking for a mix and replacement, Akers looks like he'll be the featured back without Damien Pierce available for the Texans today.
Deep shot, Jefferson! Yes! Caught at the 50! Heads left to the 40! Cuts back to the 25! Heads to the right! He's trying to outrun the Niners! To the 5! Touchdown! A 97-yard touchdown!
That was my favorite play of last weekend. Justin Jefferson with his greatness on full display last week with that 97-yarder from Sam Darnold. Dropped back inside his own end zone and found JJ over the top right around the, I believe it was the 49ers 47-yard line where Jefferson caught it. And then you heard Paul Allen on the call there talk about that cutback. And did you catch to the official the athleticism that he put on display? What a play by that official to get himself back in position to make sure that he avoided both Jefferson and then the potential tackling defenders by the 49ers, and then sprinted and actually outraced, or at least what looked like outraced, a couple of defensive backs for the Niners to put himself in position at the goal line in the event that there was a tackle. Stupendous play by him. But Jefferson, of course, is the highlight there. And he did suffer, he being Justin Jefferson, he did suffer a quad injury later in the game that caused him to leave. But good news, Jefferson Jett, he was removed from the injury report late in the week. So he's a full go. He'll be the Vikings' main target now. He will have a little more difficult day in all likelihood with Derek Stingley Jr. manning him and possibly shadowing him throughout the game. Stingley's one of the best cornerbacks in the league at this point for the Houston Texans, and Bears fans saw him and what he's capable of last week when he had that brilliant interception against Caleb Williams. He's a tough cornerback, but of course, you're still starting Justin Jefferson if you got him.
Drop back, throws middle, caught by George Kittle, going to take it to the goal line and right down to the goal line. He's in! Touchdown! San Francisco!
From the two, under center is Purdy. Got the snap. It's a jet sweep, and it comes to Samuel to the near side. The five diving in, running over the right tackle. Touchdown, 49ers!
All right. It is a MASH unit in San Francisco right now. They're dealing with a whole bunch of injuries to a lot of their best players. We already know Christian McCaffrey is on injured reserve. Jordan Mason stepped in and executed the Kyle Shanahan offense just the way you would like. So you're perfectly happy using him if you have him as the McCaffrey replacement. But George Kittle really does help the offense run, not just in the passing game, but also what he provides as a blocker. So that's not going to help Jordan Mason at all. I don't think you're going to want to step in and use any of the 49ers backup tight ends, because I don't really feel confident about who would be the first man up. They've got Eric Saubert. They've got Jake Tongas, none of which I feel comfortable using or advising to use. And then, of course, I played the Deebo Samuel highlight there. He's also going to be out for a couple of weeks with a calf injury. So, if anything, it feels like this feels like an opportunity for Brandon Ayuk to finally be heavily utilized and get right. And I do even think you can get behind using Juwan Jennings a little bit today against the Houston Texans. We'll see what exactly Brock Purdy can handle with that vaunted Texans pass rush that absolutely destroyed the Bears up front. So it's a little more difficult. I think my biggest takeaway from all these injuries, which of course you can't use Kittle or Deebo because they're out, I think though I'm concerned about using Brock Purdy when all the skill position players around him who really do help him hum are going to be absent from this game.
Throws left sideline for Josh Palmer. Caught! Josh Palmer's got it! And the Chargers are going to win! What a grab by Palmer! What a stone's throw by Justin Herbert!
All right, Justin Herbert. The throws have been few and far between with Jim Harbaugh manning the LA Chargers offense these days. So I think first and foremost, even though it sounds like Justin Herbert's going to, in all likelihood, give it a go, he's listed as questionable and there is going to be a pregame warm-up for him. They do have the noon game in Pittsburgh today, so at least you'll know definitively. This is probably also more of a super flex question, because at this point, I think what we've seen from the Chargers, what you've seen from Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh, they're doing a nice job of counterbalancing the defenses, the smaller defenses that they're up against. You're seeing a lot of heavy personnel. You're seeing jumbo packages, at least in the first 2 weeks. You're seeing six and at times even a seventh potential lineman out on the field for the Chargers. And that's been the formula to get them to 2-0. So it's been very effective. But that hasn't helped the Chargers fantasy players that we've been dependent on, at least any of the pass catchers. Josh Palmer, he's dinged up. You don't want to use him at this stage. But Quentin Johnston has actually been a usable fantasy option, but he's somebody we have to keep our eyes on. He started the season virtually undrafted in most fantasy football leagues. He's leading the Chargers in targets. He's leading the Chargers in first read percentage in their passing game. So we do know he's got the first round pedigree from last year, even though last year was a disaster under Brandon Staley. It does seem like Jim Harbaugh is breathing life into Quentin Johnston's career. So if he's out there, you've got a roster spot definitely worth adding. Hopefully in competitive leagues, or I know in competitive leagues, he was added on the waiver wire this past week, but he's got two touchdowns, only 89 yards, though, and I think that, again, speaks to the product of what the Chargers are doing offensively. J.K. Dobbins has been the real find for the offense. Now, it's going to be a much stiffer test against the Pittsburgh's D this week, and in Pittsburgh against J.J. Watt and what I consider probably the, I'm sorry, T.J. Watt, against the best defense in the league right now. That's going to be tough. I don't feel great about even using Dobbins, considering that Justin Herbert is dealing with this high ankle sprain and very likely could be limited. So I don't love really anybody on the Chargers offense in Pittsburgh this week. So that's my two cents on where you're at with the Chargers offense.
Four in the line, the snap, the handoff. Pacheco gets a block, follows that blocker near the goal line, hit by Harrison. No signal yet. No signal yet. Works his way in, kept digging his legs. It's a touchdown. It's a delayed touchdown.
All right, the night game has the Kansas City Chiefs heading to the Atlanta Falcons. And Isaiah Pacheco, we know at this point, has been placed on injured reserve, dealing with that broken leg. It's going to be a couple of months at the bare minimum. We do not know if he'll return this year at all for fantasy purposes. And that means that we're going to get some combination of Carson Steele, the rookie, who also fumbled last week, which wasn't great. Samaje Perine, the pass-catching veteran who was picked up after he was released by the Broncos late in training camp this year. So, you know, that's not an ideal situation either. And, oh, by the way, Kareem Hunt was also added via free agency by the Kansas City Chiefs earlier this week. So, really a headache. If I'm picking one, I think I'm betting on Carson Steele to potentially be your short yardage back and the guy who will get the short touchdowns. Don't really love, though, any of those options. And if you can't avoid it at all, I'd probably hesitate on using any of the Chiefs running backs until we see a week play out and kind of get our arms around exactly who we like going forward.
Shotgun snap. Here's a quick throw to the far side. Caught by Ingram, 20. Far sideline, 15. Got a block, 10. The 5 down the far sideline. Did he get in? He did. He got in on the far side inside the pylon. Caught it, ran, got a block, broke a tackle, and takes it in on a 22-yard catch and run for Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's the first of a Monday night doubleheader this week. They head to Buffalo, and they will do so without Evan Engram. He was the surprise inactive last week with that hamstring injury he suffered in pregame warmups. Again, part of the reason why I say you always have to be monitoring the inactives when they roll in right around 10:30 Central Time, because you never know when a guy's going to pop up because of what happened in pregame. So Evan Engram, and it was clearly serious because he did not go last week and he was pretty quickly ruled out this week. So he will be unavailable for the Jaguars offense, which has had its issues, especially trying to block up front. Can Christian Kirk become a little more viable? I think he's the player who stands to benefit the most from Engram's absence, but I continue to be only somewhat impressed by Brian Thomas when it comes to receiving options that Trevor Lawrence can throw to these days. Everyone else, I'm kind of a wait and see on. And then finally, I do want to address, I should say T. Higgins has been removed from the injury report in the second game of the doubleheader, where the Bengals will be hosting the Washington Commanders tomorrow night. So T. Higgins, you can finally go ahead and put him into your lineup. He will be playing his first game this year. And then finally,
back-to-back runs from Hubbard. This time, Bryce Young is in trouble. He is slippery, runs into his own man.
Bryce Young, he's slippery, but he'll be slippery on the bench this week as Andy Dalton will man the fort for the Carolina Panthers, taking on the Vegas Raiders. And I do believe this is a very good sign for some of the fantasy options in Carolina. You heard Chuba Hubbard referenced in that highlight. Of course, Diontae Johnson, who a lot of people had high hopes for this season. I think he can completely look at him differently now in fantasy lineups, and you can actually consider starting him this week. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if we get a high volume performance from him this week. You're going to want to immediately start him next week if you get that. So I think Diontae Johnson back in play, and hopefully just a far more effective offense. And in deep, deep leagues, Adam Thielen could be a PPR option as well. All right, so there you go. All the key injury news that you need to be aware of before we move to your calls. Again, 312-332-3776. I'm Jeff Meller. This is the Fantasy Football Show presented by Telemar Du here on ESPN 1000. was just talking to Justin Pottinger and Charlie Bevins, who are producing this morning, and we're talking about the low touchdown total, passing touchdown total across the league, and the effects of it on fantasy football. You know, is this something that we need to be aware of, on top of? Is this somewhat of an aberration, or is this something that's here to stay? And, you know, I do believe it's cyclical in the NFL, and defenses have finally had an opportunity to kind of digest the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay offenses that are so prevalent across the league, and they finally have better plans of attack. And what you're seeing now is it's becoming more and more difficult for teams to move the ball through the air, especially as Mel Kiper so astutely put it. I don't know if I agree with banning and outlawing cover two, but it's becoming more and more difficult for younger quarterbacks, especially, to identify exactly what they're seeing from these defenses that are disguising themselves so well, and then finding ways to get to those cover two shells as well quickly. And it's becoming a more and more complex problem. And what you're seeing as a result in fantasy is the passing totals are down across the league at somewhat, you know, league-wide lows across the league. And I think the biggest takeaway here from a fantasy football perspective on the Fantasy Football Show, presented by Tullamore Dew, is that running quarterbacks are going to continue to be good options. You know, your Jaden Daniels, as long as he maintains his health, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, they're at Jalen Hurts. They're above and at the top of the heap of quarterbacks. And I feel a little more comfortable about them these days than I do somebody like Patrick Mahomes and CJ Stroud. And now, Mahomes obviously will run the football. It's not like he's immobile, but he doesn't run the way those other players do. And so right now, I'm on alert. I'm watching this closely. And my point is that I just feel a little better about some of those guys who, you know, are going to take off and run 5 to 10 times a game. They're locks for those numbers. Anthony Richardson, right? Now, the caveat is, or the other side of that coin is, that those running quarterbacks are much more likely to put themselves in jeopardy, especially Jaden Daniels, if you can't figure out how to slide and keep yourself safe. But that's kind of my armchair takeaway from what we're seeing across the league, and something to mull over and keep your eye on as the season progresses. Will these running quarterbacks be more effective than some of those elite passers that we've had in the past? It's going to take more for those elite level passing quarterbacks to stay on par with the running quarterbacks. All right. 312-332-3776. Did I say sex? I meant six. What's on my mind, boys? It's Sunday morning. It's not football, apparently, but enough of me bloviating. Let's jump on into the phone calls. Let's try James, who's in New Lenox. Jimmy, what's up, my man?
Hey, I'm not being charged per the minute for this call, am I?
Hey, man, I don't know. Did you dial the 800 number?
Real quick, I do want to say you guys are extremely helpful on this show and the college show, just as a station. It really helps as far as fantasy and then betting stuff. So I appreciate it. I'm on a coin flip situation here. I'm either going Baker Mayfield or Derek Carr. I feel like Baker's got the higher ceiling. Carr has the higher floor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Carr's got a little bit better of a matchup.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning that way. I'll hang up and listen. And yeah. Thanks again.
No, and thanks for the kind words, James. Do appreciate it. Thanks for listening. I think I personally, at this stage, we haven't talked about the Saints just yet and what Clint Kubiak has brought to their offense, finally bringing them into the 21st century with some motion offense, which immediately has made their offense and Derek Carr very effective. And I'm with you. I think that matchup against the Eagles is enticing. So I'm not going to bet against the hot streak here with the Saints. You're right, Baker Mayfield, and what I just outlined there, right, like, I'm advising here to go with the passing quarterback in Derek Carr, who's going to give you very limited running numbers, over the guy who, you know, should take off and run himself 5 or 6 times. But I do like rolling with the hot hand with the Saints here. I don't know exactly what we have, right? Is this an offense that just looked incredibly dynamic those first couple of weeks? And will they have some issues if things don't go perfectly according to plan and they find themselves behind? Is that a possibility? Certainly. But at this stage, I'm going to just see what happens with Derek Carr, especially versus Baker Mayfield right now, who I'm intrigued by. You know, he's building on that really good season from last year, but he's certainly not somebody who needs to be in your lineup for fantasy purposes just yet. So I think go with the hot hand in Derek Carr and that Saints offense until it proves that you need to at least consider it differently. Let's try Brian, who is in Crown Point. What's going on, Bri?
Hey, Jeff, morning. Got a quick question. Wonder if I should start Tank Dell or Calvin Ridley. I am also starting Tony Pollard, so don't know if that influences the decision at all.
Yeah, so, yes, and you saw, is it a full point PPR, Bri, or standard?
Half point PPR.
Okay. Yeah, then I think I would go with Tank Dell. We know he's a little bit of a boom or bust player. Had he secured that long pass, he could have easily made your week last week against the Bears with what probably would have been a 65-yard touchdown. But Calvin Ridley right now, you know, the Titans offense is yet to prove, especially with Will Levis making these wacky plays, that he's someone you need to have in your lineup. So I think I'd go with C.J. Stroud throwing the ball over Will Levis, and that's basically what it is, a vote of confidence for that man over Will Levis, Bri.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's try Mike, who's in Mount Prospect. Mikey, what's up, my man?
Hey, Jeff. I listened to your injury report. You didn't mention my number two wide receiver, A.J. Brown. He is out, right? I didn't miss something.
No. You know what? I did have him there, but I omitted playing the highlight. We're a little short on time, Mike.
I just wanted to make sure. Yeah.
And hey, real quick, Mike, thank you for bringing it up. I will say now that for those who obviously are unaware, A.J. Brown out again. We know that he missed last week's Monday Night Football game against the Falcons. He's going to be out again for the Eagles against the Saints, which definitely hurts the Eagles offense a little bit. And, you know, it puts the entire Eagles offense under some strain here. I don't love, obviously, anybody other than Barkley and Devontae Smith. Jalen Hurts, though, again, he's got that running floor. So you basically have your three Eagles, and you're starting those guys. Everyone else, persona non grata, and A.J. Brown going to be out, and we don't really have a definitive timeline. Wouldn't be stunned if he's back next week, but also wouldn't be surprised if he misses yet another one because of the hamstring. So a little bit uncertain for A.J. Brown, but thank you for letting me hit on that, Mike.
My question, full PPR, because I lost Evan Ingram, my tight end, too, last minute this week. But Terry McLaurin at Cincinnati to replace Brown, who's done nothing, but I got a feeling he could be good this week. I don't know. And I picked up Xavier Worthy from Kansas City at Atlanta.
And
full PPR. That's a tough one. I like Worthy, but he's, very erratic, either big or nothing much at all.
Yeah. And I this gets back to, I have a hard time, Mike, advising using Xavier Worthy in full PPR. It's just the volume hasn't been there yet. We saw the couple of touchdowns in the opener, but, you know, you're betting on the big play. And even in a full point PPR, if Worthy hauls off a 30-yard, 40-yard touchdown, it's nice, but that only gets you, to 9, 10, 11 points. He still then has to do a little bit of work for you to really be satisfied with his day. Now, two touchdowns, you're generally going to be happy under any circumstances, whatever your scoring format is. But I think I would go with the safer floor for Terry McLaurin, even though it's been somewhat frustrating with Jaden Daniels. I do think they're going to have to work McLaurin more into the game if they're going to have any success this season in real football. Let's try Scott, who's in Maryville. Scotty, you're on the Fantasy Football Show with Jeff Miller.
Hey, my good man. I'm another one of these Saint question guys. In the beginning of the week, my two receivers were Zay and Rashid Shaheed. But as the week's going, and this is a full PPR, as the week's going, I'm not going to touch Zay, but would you swap Rashid out for either Xavier Worthy or Jalen Waddle? Now, I have Rashid in there, Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I keep feeling like this fool's gold thing.
Sure. And I'll tell you what, though, Scott. Here, so what I have liked in the first couple of weeks is the way that Rashid Shaheed has been utilized by the Saints. And this is where, you know, week three, how much do we believe? Is this a real thing? I think it's certainly a possibility because we have tangible evidence of what's changed, right, with the Saints offense. It has been Clint Kubiak taking over, adding the motion, and Derek Carr absolutely thriving in it. And again, this Eagles defense, it can be gotten. And so you mentioned Jalen Waddle. I did not say it because everyone's aware at this point, but Tua Tagovailoa is obviously on injured reserve, which means Skylar Thompson steps in, and that is not good for anybody from what we've seen. Yeah. So I'm concerned about using Jalen Waddle, and I
was too.
Rashid Shaheed is explosive. I personally would use Shaheed over Waddle until we see Skylar Thompson look a little bit more productive in the NFL. He needs to look better than he did two seasons ago when he stepped in for Tua the first time with those concussion issues. And he was very ineffective for the Dolphins. You're using Tyreek Hill because he's one of the few wide receivers in football who can just take the ball on a short screenplay and take it to the house. You have to use Tyreek Hill. But Jalen Waddle, you know he's second in the pecking order behind Hill. And with Skylar Thompson not necessarily functioning at as high a level, I'm concerned. And so I'm perfectly happy using Rashid Shaheed because the Saints offense looks dynamic. I'm using him over Jalen Waddle this week. And, you know, if it goes well, I think we're going to have to commit to Shaheed over Waddle for some time until Skylar Thompson shows us signs of life for fantasy purposes. All right, 312-332-3776. Lines are jammed right now, but keep trying. If you get that busy signal, I'll try and get you in before we wrap up at 8 o'clock. Again, I'm Jeff Meller, the Fantasy Football Show presented by Telemardu.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Football Show with Jeff Meller presented by Telemardu will be back with the answers to all your fantasy football dilemmas on ESPN Chicago.
Don't forget, I'll be back after the Bears game, after Yurko and Peggy are done on the post-game show. I'll be back with the post-game show. Jason McKee and Pat the Designer will be joining me as we break down what is hopefully a Bears victory over the Colts today. You can hear that game right here on the home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago, kicking off at noon. And, of course, the pregame festivities will start right after we wrap up here on the Fantasy Football Show presented by Telemardu. We'll get things going at 8 o'clock with Black and Abdallah. So, of course, plenty of Bears coverage on your home of the Bears. Keep it locked here on ESPN 1000 all day long. Don't worry, Bears fans, we have you covered. Let's go on out to Don, who's in Warrenville. Hey, Donnie, what's up, man?
Hey, a great show. I appreciate being on.
Thank you.
I think you addressed it, just my question, somewhat in your opening comments, but running back in a PPR, Zach Charbonnet or J.K. Dobbins?
Sure. Yeah, I think you have a good option in Zach Charbonnet this week without Kenneth Walker. You know, I really like what the Chargers are doing with J.K. Dobbins featuring him, but this is just a tough matchup against the Steelers, so this one's a pretty easy call for me. I would go with Zach Charbonnet. Seattle at home, they get the Dolphins making that long flight across country, so Charbonnet with Kenneth Walker out, pretty easy call, Don.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks.
No problem. Thank you. Let's try our buddy Dave in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. Dave-o, what's up, bud?
Good morning, Jeff. Hey, I got a PPR question. With a struggling Christian Kirk, I've got Kirk, Jerome Ford, and Brian Robinson. And then my grandson, real quick, wants to know, Cincy or the Raiders D today?
All right, so I think I would go with the Bengals D, Big Lou. I think confusing Jaden a little bit over. I'm a little skittish about using the Raiders D because I think Andy Dalton's going to provide a jolt for that Panthers offense. So I like the Bengals D there. And then for you, Dave, I would advise using Brian Robinson. I know I just gave out the Bengals D here, but of the options you've presented in Christian Kirk and Jerome Ford, who, you know, Ford, you got a Deontay Foreman problem right now in terms of feeling like Ford is somebody who you can trust because last week Foreman had 14 carries, led the Browns in carries, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he continues to lead them in carries while Nick Chubb gets healthy. And Ford is, you know, is Ford's probably best utilized in a lesser role as somebody who, you know, doesn't have to take 20-plus touches, who they can use in the passing game a little more. So of those options, I like Brian Robinson, Dave.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Have great day. Good luck tonight.
You as well. Let's try CJ, who's in Shanahan. Siege, what's up, man?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm in a pickle here for a wide receiver half PPR question.
Okay.
Quentin Johnston or Deontay Johnston?
Yeah, yeah. So Johnson versus Johnston. I like Deontay Johnson of the Panthers, partially because of what I just mentioned there. I think Andy Dalton will run a much more effective pro offense, and the Panthers won't be completely sabotaged by their quarterback here. So I like Deontay Johnson, and even though Quentin Johnston, the future looks bright as him potentially being the top wide receiving threat for the Chargers this season, I mentioned at the outset Justin Herbert dealing with that high ankle sprain. He's also got, you know, plantar fasciitis from earlier in the offseason that he's also fighting through. So they've actually are going to carry a third quarterback today for the Chargers, which I think is a bit of a hint there if you're reading the tea leaves of what they expect, how Herbert could be potentially limited by his injuries. So I think it's a pretty easy call. Go with Deontay Johnson in that half-point PPR format, CJ.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Have a good Sunday.
You too, man. Let's go on out to Schaumburg and say good morning to Anthony. What's up, Tony?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I think after listening to you, I'm going to go with Derrick Henry over J.K. Dobbins in my running back position. But then I have my flex. I have Kyle Pitts, J.K. Dobbins, and then I also have Dalton Kincaid. So I'm kind of right now I got Kincaid and Pitts in my flex.
So
I wasn't sure if I should use Dobbins.
Yeah, you know, I would actually use Dobbins over Pitts here. You know, I just think, again, I don't love the matchup for Dobbins, but I do think you're probably going to see him get close to 20 touches. You know, how many catches is there? They're actually going to be for him, not quite sure, but the formula for the Chargers winning this football game is going to be leaning heavily on their run game. So even though I think it's a tough matchup, I can't trust Kyle Pitts these days. And so until he looks like he's somebody who's featured heavily in their passing game, you know, Kirk Cousins, kind of a, you know, the Eagles, you know, absolutely puke all over themselves and give the Falcons the game at the end there, kind of changed the narrative of what that game actually was. The Philly Eagles should have really won that game. And for whatever reason, you know, they completely lose their mind at the end of the game. And defensively, I don't know what Vic Fangio is trying to accomplish, but Kirk Cousins all of a sudden just goes down the field in under, I think it was like under 90 seconds, and no resistance from the Eagles. So all of a sudden now we're supposed to trust the Falcons offense, even though Kirk Cousins hasn't really looked great in his first two starts. I'm not completely buying that, so I'm going to hold off on giving people a Kyle Pitts endorsement just yet. Let's try James, who's in Norwood Park. Jimmy, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Jeff? Thanks again for all the great advice.
Oh, no problem, man.
I just have it's kind of a tough one. I have to pick between these players. It's three receivers and a flex, and it's a half-point PPR.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Marvin Harrison Jr., Ayuk, Olave, David Montgomery, and on my bench right now is Chris Godwin, and I'm wondering which one of those I should bench.
All right, fire them at me one more time, James.
Chris Godwin, David Montgomery, Olave, Ayuk, and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, I think I gotta say David Montgomery of those options. You're in a good spot because those are all great, great plays. So I think I personally would probably sit David Montgomery of the five that you gave me there, James.
All right, thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. 312-332-3776. That's the phone number to jump on in. One more segment to go here on the Fantasy Football Show, presented by Telemordu.
This is the Fantasy Football Show with the guru of fantasy football, Jeff Meller. Back after this on ESPN 1000.
always, thank you for waking up with me on a Sunday morning, the Fantasy Football Show presented by Telemordu. I am Jeff Meller. I'll be back later today after the Bears game wraps up, a couple hours after it wraps up. Peggy and Yurko will have the first crack at the post-game show, but I'll be back with Jason McKee and Pat the Designer for the post-game coverage here on ESPN 1000, your home of the Chicago Bears. We'll have the call, obviously, of Bears and Colts at noon. Your network pregame coverage starts at 10 with Sylvie, Lance Briggs, and Dion Miller. And then, of course, after I wrap things up here in about 10 minutes, a little less than that, Bears pre-pregame with Black and Abdallah. All right, so we've new feature added here on the Fantasy Football Show this year, Justin Pottinger, who's been the fabulous producer of this fine extravaganza this season, has given me his daily fantasy picks. So if you're building a roster, he picks a little more obscure player for you to go ahead and start using in your lineup. So what do you got for us this week, Justin?
Yeah, so this week I'm going to go with a player that's kind of let us down these first 2 weeks, but I'm kind of here to tell you today, throw him in your lineup, and that's Amari Cooper. Now, let me just kind of break this down real quick.
Mm-hmm.
First 2 weeks, he has 17 targets. That's tied eighth in the NFL. He's only caught five of them. He's been a huge disappointment to start this season, but this week he's got a great matchup against the Giants, and that target usage is not going to go away. I expect him to do big plays down the field. He's going to be a touchdown target as well. We saw him drop a touchdown in week one. Week two, a big play, 40-plus yards, drop that one as well. He should be locked in today. His over-under is 59.5 yards on DraftKings. His price is cheaper. It's lower on any FanDuel lineups. And there's no Njoku again this week. So I'm telling you, put Amari Cooper in your lineup. You should feel safe about it this week. And
there you go.
Yeah, this should be a welcome to the season 2024 Amari Cooper this week. So
Amari Cooper, Justin Pottinger's differential play there in Daily Fantasy. The seldom-seen advice, grab and use the wide receiver who's dropping touchdown passes. I like it, Justin. I like it. I like where your head's at, my man.
We'll see.
And all kidding aside, though, there you go. Justin Pottinger with the Amari Cooper play for your daily fantasy lineups. All right, lightning round. Let's get after it. Let's try Matt, who is in Aurora. What's up, Matty?
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure, man.
So I have a full PPR league. Unfortunately, lost Isaiah Pacheco last week, and I need a backup running back, either Jerome Ford or Chuba Hubbard.
Ooh, okay. Boy, this is me. I'm going to go ahead and I still got to go with Ford. I like the Panthers offense a lot more with Andy Dalton under center, but not going to give out Hubbard just yet. I'd still use Ford in that PPR format, Matt. All right?
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, my friend. Let's try Alfredo in Addison. What's up, Alfredo?
Hey, what's going on, man? I appreciate you, man.
No problem.
Let's see. I got two receivers, one tight end and flex. I got Nico Collins, Williams, and I got Bowers, and I got McBride as my flex. But I got Drake London on my bench. I don't know if I should switch him out for the flex spot.
So I definitely use Bowers in the tight end spot there. Give me the receivers again.
I got Williams from Detroit and Nico Collins, and then I got Drake London on the bench.
So I would use Drake London over Jameson Williams in the full PPR format, Alfredo. I do think the volume will be there a little more for London. It's hard to count on Williams' production. Even though I like what he's shown us, I'm still not buying him as a high target getter just yet. So I'd use London over Jameson Williams, Alfredo.
All right, appreciate it, man.
No problem.
Switched them.
Thank you, sir. Let's try Joel in Huffman Estates. Joel, what's going on, bud?
Hey, Joel. Or hey, Jeff, sorry.
No problem.
I have point CPR, Chase Brown, Khalil Herbert, or I could pick up Samaje Perine.
Yeah, so I think I'd roll and I'd grab Samaje Perine of those options there. I like Chase Brown as a player, but the Bengals have been insistent on going to Zach Moss. They signed him in the offseason, and they seem to like him quite a bit. So even though I'd rather use Chase Brown if I were running the Bengals, I am not running the Bengals. I'm just hosting the Fantasy Football Show here. So I would say, I think based on what we've seen, grab Samaje Perine, especially in where you're getting some points for some of those receptions, and see what happens with the Chiefs tonight on Sunday Night Football. As I mentioned, you can always hit me up on Twitter. I'm at Jeff_Meller, or do you like to say X? Either way, if you get me your fantasy football lineup conundrums in a timely fashion. I'm thinking by 11 a.m. Central. I'll do my best to answer them for you if you couldn't get on the show today. I do my best, again, to try and answer any questions out there if you provide them to me before 11 a.m. After that, no promises. I may still answer your question if you get in at 11:45, but again, I cannot guarantee that I will get to it if you get in that late. Last caller here, our old buddy, George in Racine, Wisconsin. And I don't mean old by age, George. I just mean old by you've been a longtime listener, and I appreciate it. What do you got?
Sure. Thank you very much. And not bad for 85, old Marquette basketball player.
I think you sound great for 85, George.
I have a flex problem in White, running back from Las Vegas.
Sure, Zamir White.
Williams from Detroit.
Yep.
Wide receiver. And Shaheed. I need one.
Yeah, so of those options, I think I'd go with that Saints offense and Rashid Shaheed. Really like what we've seen from him so far. Do not like what I've seen from Zamir White at all. And Jamison Williams still behind, you know, I believe Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta and even Jahmyr Gibbs a little bit in the passing game. So Rashid Shaheed, George. All right, folks, that does it for me. Black and Abdallah coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.